Guten Tag. You have found it. It's the Loftus Party. I say Guten Tag to you. That's German. This is the a special Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. So I went with the German there, Guten Tag, because it's the catch-22 of holidays, Memorial Day. Before we get started about Memorial Day, this is the Loftus Party, the best radio show on the interwebs. It's Michael Loftus. I'm right here across the aisle from me, the table, rather, Andrew Apple.
Hello, everyone.
What we thought we'd do is take a look at this week's stories, but we gotta get it going because it's a big weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
And we were saying just before we got started, it is like the catch 22 of holidays, because you go out, you have a great time. There's barbecues, the pool's open. Yeah, bang, 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 bang. But it is to like remember, you know, the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedoms. So I feel I got that Irish Catholic guilt about it. You know, like,
which is the same as the Jewish guilt that I have.
But like, I really, oh, this is good. I don't want to make jokes about fallen servicemen, but like, I doubt like anybody was ever like gut shot in World War I going, I hope someday there's a holiday and people can have a burger. You know, I don't think that's what they wanted. But yeah, that's like the best. It's like the best revenge against the terrorists.
Oh yeah, to live well.
To not be terrified.
Yep.
So that's what we're doing. That's what we're bringing here at the Loftus Party. Ooh, quick update from last week's show. The pot roast came out great.
Ooh,
yeah, I rocked a little pot roast in the Dutch oven, and oh man, that was stupid easy. It was stupid easy.
Oh yeah,
and tasty and delicious. We should put the recipe up on theloftusparty.com.
We'll send it over to the webmaster right now.
Exactly. And hey, the website coming along.
Beautiful. It's
wonderful. I'm not even kidding.
No.
Have you seen the gear?
I have seen the gear. I love the gear. I'm going to get myself that nice Loftus Party, that gray faded t-shirt that we got
on
there.
Yeah, with the white logo.
Yes, indeed.
That's what I'm getting too. Mm. I'm going to get one of those, and I'm also going to get like the shoulder bag for my laptop.
Nice.
It's sweet.
Yeah.
It's so awesome to, it feels great to be proud
of
this stuff. Like, okay, that's not just hokey. You know, hey, we slapped a logo on a t-shirt. It's like, holy shit, that actually looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fantastic. So we're going to cover all the news from the week, all the stuff we're as up-to-date as we possibly can. Andrew, I'm going to let you kick it off. I don't know what you want to go with first, but we're gonna have a great time today.
Well, okay, so this is still a developing story, but we need to talk about it.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton.
Are we kicking off with the email thing?
I think we have to. I mean,
kicking it off with an email server.
You know,
okay.
Her email server, which was a private server that she used for both personal and professional reasons while she was Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
This week, the State Department comes out and says that was improper. She should have had two emails.
She broke the rules.
Yes. Now, we should comment that
Colin Powell did it too. Condoleezza Rice did it too.
It's true, they did. There's no
they
question
did
about it.
He had an AOL account. It was exactly the same. It was exactly the same.
Do we have access to all of Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice's professional emails?
Well, they did the same thing Hillary did, where they printed
They had a private server in somebody's basement.
They printed out all the emails and they handed them over to the federal
government. Oh, there you go. So we're not missing a bunch of Hillarys. We got the missing 30,000 about yoga and
to
her
be
mom's
fair, it was 20,000. Only 20,000.
Okay, only 20,000 about yoga pants. Here's the deal. I want to know more about Sidney Blumenthal.
Okay.
That's who I want to know about, her personal attack dog. I want to know what the heck Sidney Blumenthal was telling her to do, giving her advice in Libya. Because, you know, when I want advice about a foreign country, I tend to ask my lawyer.
Mm.
I don't ask someone who actually lives in the region. I'm like, hey, Sidney, who you doing business? Here's the thing that total tool Sidney Blumenthal did. He was giving her the go-ahead on one little deal in Libya, but he misspelled the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually referring to a super bad guy.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, hey, this dude, who he was actually doing business with, and he wanted to open up some businesses mm-hmm. in the Middle East. He's like, this guy's a grade-A dude. We got to help him out. Maybe it was autocorrect. Maybe it was spell check. I don't know. He's like totally like, No, that you accidentally referenced a bad guy there, yeah. Sydney.
And actually,
Sydney's not a good. He's not a good human being. You know who doesn't like Sydney Blumenthal?
Who's that?
Barack Hussein Obama. That's the other one. That's the only one. That's got to be embarrassing every time somebody brings that up. So I'll do it again and again and again. He was so vicious. First of all, he was vicious to Monica Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a sexual predator. She's this. She's that. She's unhinged. She's crazy. She's a lunatic. You know, he would do the dirty work that Hillary didn't want to do herself.
Yeah.
So then he was so vicious to Obama during Hillary's last run for president that when Hillary was like, okay, I'm going to be Secretary of State. I'm going to bring in my boy Sidney Blumenthal. Obama's like, no.
No.
No, you're not. That dude is not well. He does not have a seat at the big children's table at my White House. And she did it anyway. Bum, bum, bum.
Well, and again, everyone, they come in and they say, well, no, this is non-negotiable. It's like, we made nice. We decided you're going to be the nominee. I'm going to step down. I'm going to support you. So then I'm going to become Secretary of State. But that also means I get X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And that's just very common in Washington.
Yeah. I want to know. Here's what I want to know. I want all the emails now. Before I didn't. Yeah. Before I'm like, you guys, we're being rude. Like, everybody's got some private stuff. I got some emails. I get some emails going back and forth I don't want people to look at.
Don't we all?
So I can, and I imagine Hillary does too. I imagine she's, you know, she's had evenings of loneliness where who knows who she's, maybe she's on Match.com. Wouldn't that be hysterical? If she was like, you know, my husband's away, I'm very lonely and no one pays attention to me. And
Craigslist misconnections.
Misconnections with Hillary Clinton. Guy on the bus. You were reading the Wall Street Journal. We made eye contact. Contact me.
You know, it actually,
HRC.
It actually did come out this week that Donald Trump already has his line of attack planned for when he goes into the general with her.
Yeah.
He actually emailed the Republican National Committee and saying, can you guys just send me everything you've got on Whitewater? And here's the best part, because the RNC, the reason we know about it is because the guy's name who emailed from the Trump campaign, his name was, I think, Michael Foster.
All right.
But the staffer accidentally emailed a guy named Mark Foster.
Oh, who's a reporter.
At Politico.
Yeah, I saw that guy on MSNBC the other day. He's like, yeah, I got this crazy email.
Yeah. It's like Trump's already prepared. He's going to pull out all the stuff. It's going to so be awesome. The 90s again.
It's so awesome.
It's like, this is the reason why I'm really hoping that we do get that Bernie-Trump debate that we started talking about this week.
Because yes.
I would like to see how the two of them fare in the same room. Because love Bernie or hate Bernie, he's definitely got his quirks, but he doesn't have the same stank, shall we say, that Clinton has as far as the email servers, Whitewater, Vince Foster, Monica Lewinsky. He's got his issues. There's no question about that.
Yeah. And then let's not forget the Clinton Foundation. That, I tell you, the more I look into that, here's the deal. I do this talk show every week, a little comedy show syndicated. So it's like the big picture type stuff.
Yep.
Right. And then I have this lovely internet radio show, The Loftus Party, and the website, theloftusparty.com. So I'm digging in deeper a little bit. I was never a big conspiracy guy. You'd see these talking heads on the news. Mm-hmm. They're so upset and they're so angry. And I'm like, we need to lighten up and laugh more. But I tell you what, this Clinton Foundation thing, and that's some of the other emails that I think are missing. Because there's some really, really bizarre workings going on. The governor in Virginia.
Terry McAuliffe.
Terry McAuliffe. Yep. There's video of him going into some house with this Chinese businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Not a really good dude. That dude donated $120,000 to Terry to get elected governor. And the dude also gave $2 million to the Clinton Foundation.
Well, there's no question. Terry McAuliffe and the Clintons, they're very close. Like, if you remember back to 2008, even it was clear that Hillary had lost, Terry McAuliffe was out there like an idiot. Like, no, she can still win. We can still make this work.
Like the Bernie people now?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some seriously... And then, like, when everybody's like, Donald Trump needs to disclose his tax returns. Like, a typical politician would say, I'll do it when Hillary releases her speeches to Wall Street. And he could do that. He could still whip that little magic bullet out. But now I'm interested to know what she was saying. Like, when you have, like, listen, when a shady Chinese businessman donates $2 million, like, what is he getting? What is he getting? It's all probably perfectly legal.
I'm sure it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, what's he getting for that?
Yeah.
What did she say in the Wall Street speeches?
Well, and again, that's where we're ultimately going to end up going, because Trump's going to hit her about the Clinton Foundation and the emails. She's going to hit back about his taxes and his business dealings and Trump University. He's going to say, here, eat a Trump steak. She's going to say, no, I don't want to.
Here's the wonderful thing about that, the Trump University, the Trump steaks, all of that that's like hanging fire. I watched the Hardball with Chris Matthews.
Big fan.
Right? You know what? Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't agree with him politically at all, but you can tell he digs what he's doing and whatever. At least he's passionate about it. And I've seen him stumped many a time.
Yeah.
Which is great. Which is awesome. You know, you could edit that out, but we'll get to editing, clever editing later.
Boom, boom.
I didn't realize how long he's been on the air. And he's got these old interviews with Donald Trump, you know, from the way back machine. And Donald Trump, I saw one last night, an old interview with Donald Trump's like, you know, rich people don't like me. You know what? And I don't like most of them either. I get along good with like the guys on the street, like the construction guys. I build things.
Yeah.
You know, I build things and that's who I get along. And to me, that is the appeal of that guy. You know, he does seem like, yeah, she can go, oh, yeah, your Trump University went out of business and Trump steaks and Trump water in your casino. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I gave it a shot. It didn't work out. My bad. I build stuff. I'm a very successful builder. All he has to do is tell the ice rink story, and boom, that'll shut down all the Trump steak, Trump University junk.
It's possible. I mean,
it is possible.
Well, because Hillary's going to hit him hard, and there's going to be a lot of attack ads coming through.
On what? Like, seriously, like everything I've seen. So now, of course, I've just doomed it. When you say stuff like that, then there will be like some crazy November, you know, surprise. Like,
of course.
He killed a hooker in Atlantic City and, or something nutty like that. But so far, every single time, and it's just his nature.
Yeah.
You can't teach this. You can't coach this. It's just his, like, this was the best.
Yeah.
When the president of the United States, a guy who should be not commenting on a
presidential
politics
election.
Right? That's not cool at all. And he's over in Japan or wherever the heck he was last night. And he's like, you know, I've spoken to several world leaders. My Barack Obama sounds kind of like Thurston Howell III. and they're rattled. They're rattled by the current state of affairs. So within like 20 seconds, it seemed like Donald Trump is on stage going, hey, if they're rattled, that's good. I'm glad. I rattled them in a nice little friendly way. We're still going to be friends with these people. But if they're rattled, that's good. From I'm just like, oh my gosh. It's like they don't have that silver bullet yet. They'll say something and he'll completely just like political kung fu. He just uses the power of his attacker against him. What was the other one recently? Oh, the Hillary Clinton, the whole Elizabeth Warren, she's getting all bent out of shape, just like shaking. She's so angry. And she's like, he was rooting. This selfish, small-minded, horrible man was rooting for the stock market bubble to burst so he could make money. And Donald Trump's like, yeah, I was in real estate. What am I going to do? Buy it when it's high? Boom! Like political judo. It was just the best. Like, that's what you got? Yes. Like, not only to say, yes, it's true, but to embrace it and move. It's so refreshing. When I was among those idiots who voted for Mitt Romney, you know, a guy who's like, golly gee, I didn't mean to get rich, and ooh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be successful. Just to have a dude who owns it, and not only owns it, but like celebrates it. It's awesome.
All right, but
it's refreshing.
This is where we are running into the big question about Trump, where a lot of what he's had to do and what he's going to have to do isn't going to involve the pivot. You know, he's always been one thing. He's been saying one thing. When he gets into the general election, there's going to have to be a pivot where he does something else. It's just going to have to happen.
Why?
Well, because he's
they keep saying this. I keep seeing this on television.
Yeah.
They keep insisting. Now, these are the same tools. These are the same morons. And I believe Donald Trump put out a greatest hits video of all the Uber tools saying how he would never be the candidate, he would never win the general, all of the same morons. And I love it. I love it that this is like a recorded piece of entertainment. And I know exactly what I'm saying, and I know exactly who I'm talking about. These are the same tools who are like, now he's got to pivot. This is, hey, listen, that might have worked in the primary. That might have worked in the primary, but it's not going to work in the general.
So I'm not even talking about how he's going to run. I think that if he continues to run the way he is, if he can grow his base enough and actually bring out people the way he says he's going to, he has a real chance of being president. There's no question about that. But the way he always works in his life is he works as a CEO. He's like, this is what we're going to do. I pay you. You're going to go do what I say because it's my business. And that means that I get to be the boss.
That's a horrible assumption. You don't think he negotiates with people who don't want what he wants? There's a building. He wants that building.
Yeah.
And the guy who owns it is like, Donald Trump goes, I'm going to do great things with that building. That building, I'm going to make it so nice. It's going to make your head spin. Everyone's going to have a job. That building's going to be great again. It's going to be huge. And I'm going to give you a dollar for it. And the guy who owns the building like, the heck, a dollar? Are you crazy? This is worth far more than a dollar. Well, you know, to make it great again, to make it, so there's a negotiation back and forth, again, and then you eventually pay a price. So, like,
but that's business, and politics are not the same thing.
They're exactly the same thing.
Really different. That's
the, isn't that the big problem? Like, big business runs politics.
Well, that's with lobbyists, and that's a larger issue altogether.
But isn't that the whole issue with, like, there's big money in politics?
And isn't that what Trump is running on the platform, that he doesn't want any of that?
Here's what I think he's running for. These politicians, these knuckleheads, these total noodles, do not know how to negotiate better trade deals. They have not run businesses. They don't know what they're talking about. You have a room full of lawyers discussing war. Like, wait, what? You have a room full of lawyers discussing, here's how you should run a small business. You have, like, room full of lawyers going, here's how the toilets should work. What? Yeah, it's crazy. So I think what Donald Trump is, like, saying, I'm going to negotiate better deals. And whether they're, listen, I have like zero expectations.
Okay.
Like zero. I have not, and it's like, he's a Trumpkin. He's drunk the Kool-Aid. You know what? I have not had the Kool-Aid, but I'm I'm thinking about grabbing a cup. it's just, listen, he's not the end-all be-all. It can't be worse. It literally can't get worse. I know. Well, it could if Bernie Sanders is the president. It could if Hillary Clinton. I mean, literally, seriously, if Hillary Clinton was president,
yep.
Honestly, it probably wouldn't make a difference.
No.
I mean, my life would get a little bit worse. It'd just be a little bit. It's death by a thousand cuts.
Well, no, Hillary Clinton right now, and this is just what she's saying, she is running on the platform that she's going to keep everything the same way it was under Obama. I don't think she's going to. I think that she's actually going to be a lot more moderate in her politics than she says she's going to be, because that's
what make her popular. That'll really everybody, and that's why I think she's not so popular with the left, because they know.
Yeah.
The Clintons have literally a track record of saying, we're going left. We are going left.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, you think you've seen left? We are going left. And then they get into the White House and they go, well, we can't go that far left. We got to go more towards the middle. And it's what happened to Obama as well.
Yeah. And,
you know, single payer.
Which in my mind should make her more appealing to a broad group of people.
Well, there's so many. I think it's hysterical. She said she would put Bill in charge. The economy czar. That's just too funny. After all the grief she gave, Donald Trump, she's playing the woman's card. She's like, no, I'm not. I'm just as good as anybody else. I'm equal, and women equal pay for equal work, and I'm so strong. I'm just as strong as any other person. Da-da-da-da! You know, the whole thing. And then they're like, so who's going to be in charge of the economy? Oh, my husband, Bill. Bill, he does the checks. He runs. He's better at that than I am. I'm going to redecorate. I'm going to be picking out sofa patterns.
Well, and again, we know that's probably not going to be the case, but she's just trying.
But for a comedic bit, it is.
Comedy.
It's comedy. Yeah, that's right. All of this is comedy. I reiterated that. It's all comedy.
But it's comedy you can learn something from.
Comedy, it's infotainment.
Exactly.
Yes. But that's what this goes great with the whole Pocahontas thing.
Yes.
I tweeted this out the other day at Flipside Loftus. Like, every single time Trump calls Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, I just have to laugh. I just have to smile. It's like great stand-up. It really is.
Yeah.
Like Jerry Seinfeld, and my stand-up is nothing like his. I'm more like a blab. Obviously, I just blather on and then stumble into something funny, hopefully. Seinfeld is a scientist, an economy of words and ideas, and he's really, I really, really respect that. Like Carlin. George Carlin was the same way.
Absolutely.
And just with Donald Trump, by calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, and today there was a press conference, I wish we had the clip, she came after him hard the other day.
Yeah.
It was like, goofy Elizabeth Warren, also known as Pocahontas, referred to it. Like, he calls her, some reporter's like, so what do you think about Elizabeth Warren's latest attack? He's like, well, you mean Pocahontas? Pocahontas? And another girl reporter in the front row, she's like, isn't that offensive? And then another girl reporter off camera, she's like, that is offensive. I'm offended. And Donald Trump goes like, really? Really? He does like the whole like stand-up comic thing. Like, really? Of Pocahontas? You're offended? Okay. And then he looks back at the first one. Okay, so Pocahontas. Like, so, here's the deal. I think actions speak louder than words. That is the exact same way he would treat a dude, and it's the exact same way he's treating women. And people think, and that's what he, this is going to sound so hokey, like Don Ricklesy, he's an equal opportunity offender. Like, as mean as he was to Marco Rubio, and as mean as he was to all 16 of those other dudes, that's as mean as he's going to be to Hillary Clinton. Like, you can't, the wonderful thing about him is having this really like narrow band of just being like this like New York kind of buffoon, like animal, like he treats everybody equal. Like, obviously, he, you know, little Marco, lion Ted Cruz, crooked Hillary, goofy Pocahontas. It's like everybody gets a nick. And like, and it brings up that economy just by calling her Pocahontas. It just puts a pin in, oh, yeah, that's right. She lied and said she was part Native American so she could jump the line and get ahead in Harvard and politics. So let's never forget that. So in all the time it took me to say all that,
yes,
and all the time to bring up the scandal and, yes, she lied, he just goes, Pocahontas. Boom. Pocahontas. Four syllables. Ba-boom. It's wonderful. It's a thing of beauty and must be admired. I don't care if you're a never Trumper, but it's just beautiful.
You know, they asked some improv teachers here in LA who teach over the Upright Citizens Brigade to talk about the presidential candidates and how they would interact in an improv class, because a lot of people don't realize this. These improv schools, they also teach high-level business negotiation courses because there's a lot of crossover there. And so when they described Donald Trump, he said he would be the kid in the class that everyone hates, because he's really funny, he never follows any of the rules of improv, and he would have a sitcom deal by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yep.
Probably.
Because
there, he's, listen, the dude zigs when everybody else. It's just refreshing.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the end-all, be-all candidate. No. He really isn't. He's not all that in a bag of chips, if I may quote the 80s. But just like when Mitt Romney was embarrassed about his wealth and blah, blah, blah. Donald, yeah, I'm a rich guy. It's like, what? It's just so, it seems like honest, and it's whatever. I just find it refreshing. I find it so refreshing.
Well, I think that you
don't see the political wheels spinning. He's just like, yeah, that guy's a jerk. Am I right or am I right? But I hate that dude.
Here's the thing. I think you just really nailed something there, because it seems like he's honest.
Right. Yes.
But he's going to do different things.
Oh, absolutely.
Once he actually gets into the general.
Listen, anybody who's holding their breath, waiting for him to actual build a physical wall like the one they've got in China. Hey, I got some sad news for you.
Yeah.
That ain't never going to happen.
No.
Anybody going and then we'll ban all Muslims. Sorry. That ain't never going to happen. And anybody going and then they'll round up 11 million families and rip them out of preschool. That it's never going to happen.
No.
I mean, we have checks and balances.
Yeah.
Our system is perfect. Our system can handle a guy named Donald Trump. But if other people are rattled by him, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome.
He does, and I hate to contradict you, but he does have to do one thing in my book.
What's he got to do?
He needs to take the videos off of his website that says he's not taking donations anymore now that he started taking donations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he should amend that.
He at least needs to step up.
He should amend that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, listen, if you say you raised $6 million for vets and like you're on stage going, we raised $6 million for vets.
Yeah.
You better find your checkbook, dude.
Yeah.
because they go back like, oh, we double checked and it was only 4.5 million.
Yeah.
And then the reporters go, okay, well, you've only given 3 million to charity. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, let me write a check here for that last 1.5.
Yep.
You got to listen. If you said it was 6, got to make it 6.
And to his credit, that's what he did. He said, I'm going to put $1 million of my own money into it. The Washington Post said, where's the check? He's like, let me pull out my checkbook.
See, that's
right
awesome.
Now.
That is awesome.
There you go.
There you go. Albuquerque. Let's talk about that.
Okay. So
that was a wonderful, wonderful glimpse into propaganda.
Yeah.
It really was.
It was a bit much. There's no question about it, because New Mexico as a whole has had some economic issues recently. Forbes last year rated it 47 out of 50 when it comes to states for best business. So it's very low on the totem pole.
I was talking about the riots.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Trump and his speech in New Mexico.
The Trump rally in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And then when all hell broke loose outside and the police didn't do nothing about it. That's what I'm talking about.
Ooh.
And the wonder, and oh yeah, I come home the other night and I'm looking through my Twitter feed, Flipside of Loftus, and like, holy smoke, live, like people are posting pictures, CNN's posting pictures, and it's just like all this craziness. There's smokes, there's reports of things being hurled at police and rocks, and kids are stomping on cop cars, and windshields are being broken, and it's just like, it just looks like anarchy. And then somebody tweets like, oh my gosh, I'm watching Hardball with Chris Matthews and it looks like nothing's happening. Now I know that like there's a huge disconnect because I'm seeing pictures from Albuquerque coming up on, and this is where I love social media and the instantaneous nature of it. So I know someone's lying, right? So go. You're looking up.
I'm looking it up right now. I mean, but what you're saying doesn't shock me. It's like the major news media outlets, they're even saying they are infotainment.
It was hysterical. So I make sure I watch Chris Matthews that night. And Chris Matthews, this, like, he's got some, there's a reporter in New Mexico. And she's like, well, just kind of hanging out. And the rally's over. And this is the area where the people came in. Now, behind her, you can see reporters and policemen running, like running toward something. And she's like, so not much going on here. All quiet. The rally's over. People running by, cops running by, security running by. And finally, Chris Matthews is like, if there's nothing going on, where are all those people running? She's like, oh, I guess there's some kind of altercation or something. Chris is like, go outside, see what they're saying. And then reluctantly, the reporter goes outside and is forced to cover and show, oh, there is like acts of violence and it's way beyond protesters. Now, to their credit, so then another reporter is out there, and his camera is locked on the good protesters. You know, the people who don't agree with Donald Trump, you know, whatever. And they're standing there. They've got signs, and they're doing the thing. That's how you protest. And then Chris Matthews has to keep telling it, turn the camera. Turn the camera. And the cameraman's like, and he turns the camera over to show, like, this huge menacing line of cops on horseback, right? It's from, it's like from the movie Elf.
Oh,
remember
God.
those bad New York cops on horseback?
Yeah.
They were trying to kill Santa Claus. It looked like that. Like, oh, here come the Nazis. And then Chris Matthews like, turn the camera. And then, oh, here to the car and the police. Like the kids throw, oh, you want me to tape the kids throwing rocks? Yes, the actual violence in progress. It was horrible. I've heard this rumor. I don't want it to be true, but I saw they actually had, I think it was CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they showed these guys, these kids. You know you're doing a good job protesting when you're covering your face and you're taking a dumpster and you're smashing it into the front of a police horse. I heard a police horse got injured and had to be put down. And I just don't want that to be true at all.
So Washington Post did actually do some reporting on this. There's nothing
WAPO.
There's nothing about horses. There's nothing about anyone's face getting smashed. They're saying there was a riot.
Mm-hmm.
There were some rocks thrown. There was some pepper spray. People were getting thrown.
There was
down.
There was. I know there was a glass door smashed. Like they jumped the barricade trying to get into the arena. I know that happened. Oh, and that's great. Like when you disagree. With Donald Trump, when Donald Trump says, you know what, these illegals, they don't respect our borders, they don't respect authority, and they're criminals, the best way to prove his point wrong is to wave a Mexican flag, jump a barricade, and commit a crime. That's the It was just like every... It's like they did more to promote his little tirade than anything. Like, literally, like dudes with faces covered, Mexican flags, jumping barricades, throwing stuff at cops. Like, but, really? Oh, yeah, Donald, he's so wrong. Like, they went out of their way to, like go down the checklist. Criminal elect, yep, jumped the barricade, yep, got that one. Attacked a cop, yep, got that one. All right, fellas, our work here's done.
But let's be honest, people we're the stereotype gang. Legitimately scared of a possible Donald Trump presidency.
So you're allowed to throw a rock
at a cop? You're not allowed to throw a rock. No one's defending those people. We're just commenting.
Sounded like you just did, my friend.
Not at all.
Because people are afraid of Donald Trump.
They are afraid.
Be afraid. So don't vote for him.
No, that's fine.
Protest.
Well, no. It's not just don't vote for him. It's vote for the candidate that you dislike the least. Vote for the candidate that you like the most. That's what we have to do in this country.
Listen, here is it's a big issue for me. Law and order.
Yeah.
I'm a law and order guy. Protect my property. Respect the police. They're going to protect your property. Once you start getting into this whole, and they always wrap it up in, you know, Donald Trump's message. And yes, I'm doing a horrible Latino accent.
Okay.
Because it was this woman on MSNBC. You know, we just want Donald Trump to know that his message of hate isn't welcome here. So you're going to throw a hunk of concrete at a cop? Like, yeah, we don't tolerate hate, and we kill it. It's just horrible. Just to match, you don't do that. That's not the way it's done.
No, and this is what causes people, you know, to want their rights. And this is actually the perfect pivot because this goes into one of your big tenets, which is gun control.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you believe, as we've said on many occasions, all you know is you get a gun.
That's right.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Boom. So, and it's not for hunting, my friend.
No, it's for self-protection.
It's for self-protection, and it's if the government goes cuckoo. That is why it's there. It's like I said on the Flipside television show.
Yep.
We have a wonderful system of checks and balances. In the crazy event that all three equal branches of government go cuckoo on the same day.
Yes.
Boom. Everybody's got a gun.
Turns
That's
into
right.
a well-regulated militia.
That is right. We're awesome. It's like that Bill Murray Stripes. We're out there. We have formation drills. Boom, chaka laka laka. Boom, chaka laka laka. Boom, chaka laka laka. Boom. Where's your drill sergeant? Blown up, sir. But I really think that's why the founding fathers wanted it.
Yeah. No. Listen.
That is the thing. That is why the Japanese never even considered invading. When they attacked Pearl Harbor, there was some general in Japan floated the balloon of like, you know what, we could just like take it. And the Japanese are like, nope, you can't do an invasion of America. It'll take too long. It'll cost us too much blood. Everybody in America has a gun. Seriously. So you're welcome, greatest generation. Happy Memorial Day to you. We're awesome.
So I was actually trying to pivot into the whole Katie Couric documentary.
Oh, right, yes. Good for you.
Thank you.
We were going in two different directions. I found myself heading towards Obama and Hiroshima.
Yep.
Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
You went Katie Couric, but I think it's important to do the Katie Couric.
Okay.
I don't want to forget.
Okay.
I don't want to forget to do this because we have clips. And
we do.
We get to show off your mad editing skills, which is what this is all about.
Exactly, yeah.
So Katie Couric, like, stone cold busted.
Yeah.
She's made this documentary.
Yeah, so she has a documentary which is about gun control.
Guns are bad, you guys!
And it's very much in the vein of a lot of these new documentaries which have a point of view. They're not trying to necessarily just look at the facts. They're walking in with a point of view and then finding facts to support it.
Right, they're more mockumentaries.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, it's what,
There are people on both sides who do it. I mean,
well, they do now.
Yeah, Michael Moore is accused
Michael
of it.
Michael Moore,
Dinesh D'Souza is accused of it. It's happening from both sides. But there was
Michael Moore's not just accused of
it. No,
he's guilty
of it.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, his Columbine one. It's hysterical. The clever editing he got. He like shows this one speech of Charlton Heston, and Charlton Heston's like, wearing a suit and then he'll say something and then you cut to the audience and then you cut back and Charlton Heston, there's no tie. It's like, it's obviously like from a different day and a different speech. But when you're just like emotionally like, did he just say that? You're not paying attention. And so it looks like it's all one speech and he looks like he's just the most evil man in the world. So Katie Couric,
yeah,
whipped out. You know what? And shame on her. She used to be a news gal.
Yeah.
She was a trusted news gal.
Listen, the minute that you go from a news show like the Today Show to a lifestyle show in daytime, you lose a little bit of credibility.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Happened with her, happened with Anderson Cooper, happened with Meredith Vieira. It's like, if you are a news person and then you want to get more into lifestyle, that's fine, but then don't try and fall back into the news world.
That's right, because we have to play the clip. Okay. I want to play the first one. I want to do is like, this is the finished product.
Yeah.
This is how she's going to air it. It makes it sound just like she's asked these guys this question and they're just totally just stymied. They don't know what to do.
Let me ask you another question. If there are no background checks for gun purchasers, how do you prevent felons or terrorists from purchasing a gun?
And that's where it goes silent.
And then they show the people, like, looking around. They're looking around. It's like, oh, my gosh. I don't know how to answer this question. She stymied us. She raises such a good point. I can't speak. It's just, it's like, it's from reality shows.
Yeah.
It's the classic. 60 Minutes does it. Comedy Central does it on The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. It was really their bread and butter. So here's the wonderful thing. Because everyone is aware, and this is how smart the audience is, when people do 60 Minutes now, they keep their own recording of it. And when people do Comedy Central, The Daily Show, they keep their own recording. Well, some genius from these gun rights people, they had their own recording, and it gets out. So here's how that little exchange really went down.
If there are no background checks, how do you prevent... I know how you all are going to answer this, but I'm asking anyway. If there are no background checks for gun purchasers, how do you prevent felons or terrorists from walking into, say, a licensed gun dealer and purchasing a gun?
Well, one, if you're not in jail, you should still have...
Zero silence. Like, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
And then another guy jumps in.
If you're a felon and you've done your time, you should have your rights.
If you're a felon and you've done your time, you should have your right. So these guys, they know what's up. Here's the thing, like Katie Couric, and like she blames it on her editor, which is kind of cheap, which is super cheap. And then she goes, when she asks the question, so how would you keep a terrorist or a felon? And then she even goes, I know how you guys are going to answer. Mm-hmm. I just have to ask. That's her saying, because I need the coverage. I need me on camera asking you this question because we're going to try to edit it to make you all look like idiots.
Which, and honestly, that's editing 101 right there. It's like,
yeah.
that is straight up what they do on any major reality TV show. They create the drama in the editing room.
So this even gets worse. So in light of this, like when Katie Couric's like, what? I didn't know. My editor double-crossed me. This little documentary is going to be on, what, Epix?
Epix, yeah.
Yeah. The whoever the head of programming on Epix is like, you know what, we think it highlights a big problem in our society, so we're just going to let it roll. So that's saying we are actively going to further this propaganda. It's like saying we know it's propaganda, but this is the side of the propaganda we want to be on, so we're going to let it go.
And that's the hard thing. When you put yourself on camera, when you sign a release saying, I understand I'm going to be on camera and you own this footage, that is the risk that you take.
Yes, unless you're being interviewed by a news person, like a journalist.
Oh, no, even still, that is absolutely the risk you take, because we've gotten to a point where Samantha Bee, even though it's comedy, it's still quote-unquote news. And you know, walking into something like that...
Samantha Bee is supposed to be news?
Full frontal with Samantha Bee? Yeah, it's supposed to be news.
That's great. That's categorized. It's not categorized as a comedy show?
It's a comedy news show, but at this point, wow, those shows have turned into the way that millennials get their information.
You guys, this takes me, like, I want to have a funny little podcast, but it makes me so sad. It really makes me so sad. I did this wonderful interview, and I'll let you know when it comes out, for BBC Radio.
It was great.
Yes. BBC Radio is doing a retrospective of political comedy in America for like the last 40 years. And so they wanted to talk to everybody, and this producer calls me up. They're talking to Mort Saul. They're talking to Jon Stewart. They're talking to Bill Maher, And they realize I am the only one.
You are.
On the right.
Yeah.
This woman could not believe it. The interviewer from the BBC, she's like, why are you the only one? And I'm like, well, I think it's because everybody, you know, just equivalates, if you lean to the right, it must be hate speech. And people are terrified of supporting hate speech. I'm literally just trying to do a funny show about politics that show things in a different light. And she's like, it's really, well, I should do her voice. You know, it's really funny. I've watched it. It's very, I laugh out loud and I can't. So you're the only, how many shows are there on the other side? And I'm like, I think there's like 8 or 9. 8 or 9? And you're the only one? In England, it's really 50-50. There's a lot of conservative. Now she's suddenly turning into Paul McCartney. but like, it's continue on with the Flipside television show. We've had 2 great seasons. We're looking forward to season 3. Wonderful things are happening. But I tell you what, I really support people, really thank people for supporting the show because, like, holy cow, it is like, when it is so obviously propaganda.
Yes.
Like, just obvious propaganda. If you have a better idea, and this is why I think the right loses. Because in a weird way, they do have the moral high ground. Because, like, I'm for freedom of speech. I'm for personal freedoms. And like, okay, you're for personal freedom and personal speech. I'm going to say this. Bung, bung, boom. A giant package of lies. And then you go, hey, wait, you're not allowed to lie. I thought you said for freedom of speech, you uptight right wing ding 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 ding. And you have to be kind of like, yeah, okay, I guess I'm for freedom of speech. Go ahead and do it. And so you, in a weird way, the right has to embrace and not really criticize like straight up propaganda, like this Katie Couric thing.
Well, there's a little bit more to it because it's changing quite a bit. But for many years, the right was the more religious, but like they owned Christianity in a lot of ways. That was something that was much more associated with the right. And it's very hard to make fun of God, you know? I mean, jokes about God like that. Oh, are you a heretic?
You know what? You know who the first person to laugh about a joke about God?
Who's that?
God himself. Now, as I say that, I kind of think, well, he's God. He's going to know the punchline. Right? So, like, I don't know how often God laughs because, like, hey, you're like, hey, knock, knock. And God's like, yeah, I know who's there. I'm God. There is a very funny part to the Bible, though. Holy smoke. There's a part where Jesus tells the disciples. This is, I think, the funniest part of the Bible. Okay. Not a lot of comedy in the Bible.
No.
But Jesus goes, he's going to bring Lazarus back from the dead. So he and the disciples are sitting around, and Jesus is like, hey, you guys, I'm going to go wake up Lazarus. And they're like, Jesus, he's not asleep. He's dead. Jesus is like, yeah, I know. I'm gonna go wake him. And they're like, whoa, Jesus. Like 3 times they tell him, he's dead. He's not sleeping. It's almost like Jesus is like, you guys, it's a metaphor. I'm going to go bring him back from the dead. But it's probably my favorite, funniest part of the Bible. And of course I'm paraphrasing. Some Bible. Listen, and please, please, please. I will never get into a Bible quoting contest.
No.
Ever, ever. I'm like with Donald Trump on this one. You know, Corinthians 2. what else do we want to cover?
So you had said, I mean, do you want to go past Obama and Hiroshima and jump into something else? Or
I really do. Barack Obama, it is the apology tour. You know, it is what it is.
Well, it also has a lot to do with TPP and China.
You know me. It is a very, see, you went TPP and I said, yeah, you know me. Old rappers love that. It is. It's a mixed bag. He didn't, like, say he was sorry.
No.
But that's what he's saying, right? Now it is really a mixed bag. This is the quintessential like murky water.
Yeah,
we gotta support Japan. Like we gotta hook them up.
Yeah,
China's getting strong. China's being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like the fact that Obama went over there and like, hey, you guys, without saying my bad, in a weird way, he's like, you know, we are aware of the problem. Here's a hug. We got your back. I'm always fond of that.
Yeah.
We got your back. I'm okay with him going to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Let's get those dudes on board.
Absolutely.
They know how to fight. They know how to fight.
They make great product in Vietnam.
I guess they do. But like, you know, before we were over there, they knocked the snot out of China.
Yeah.
Like, those guys, seriously,
yeah,
they know how to fight a war.
Absolutely.
Here's how you do it. You fight dirty. Something America used to be very, very good at.
Yeah.
We used to fight. That's the thing that, like, frustrates me about the Middle East and, like, oh, this is not, what kind of warfare is this? It's like they're not fighting right. Like, no, fight dirty. That's how we have a country. I did a big stand-up hunk about this.
Like, we just posted it on the YouTube.
Oh, it's on
page.
That clip?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that clip.
Yeah.
It's like the British would line up in these neat little rows, and we knew we couldn't beat them in a fair fight, so a bunch of hillbillies got in trees and, like, shoot the officers and run like hell. That's why we have a country. That's pretty much it. And then for us to be, like, a couple hundred years later stymied by, this is unconventional. What are they doing? Well, let's get more unconventional than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring it. Let's open up a Kentucky Fried Chicken just outside of Baghdad. Oh, it's a fake one. It's a fake one.
Well, no, I'm groaning because KFC has done some not so nice things to my stomach in the past.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't have a problem with KFC. What do you get over there?
I've gotten everything over there. The mashed potatoes.
It's so good.
Well, no, because I'm very fortunate, and this is one of the things I love about Los Angeles. The food here is amazing. It's like we are very much on par with New York these days. So in the neighborhood where I live, they have some of these amazing small fried chicken restaurants that put KFC to shame.
Really?
It's incredible.
Who you got over there?
We've got Duck Duck Chicken.
That's a fried chicken place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got incredible wings. There's a whole bunch more, and I'm blanking on their names right now, but just the food in my area is wonderful.
Fun to know fact.
Yes.
And I love the, I love the fun to know fact.
Absolutely.
Colonel Sanders,
yep.
The guy who started KFC, that was actually a chicken from a pressure cooker. He did not like what they did to his recipe after he sold the franchise.
I believe it.
Yeah. And the pressure cooker, that's what I would like to try. Somewhere in the company that owns KFC, they've got the original recipe. And I tell you what, if what they're doing now is a piece of garbage,
yeah.
What was the real stuff like?
You know, you had mentioned on the TV show that in Michaeltopia, Norm MacDonald was not Colonel Sanders.
That's right.
And they ended up replacing him with Jim Gaffigan. How do you feel about Jim Gaffigan?
You know what? It's weird. It's like, it's funny now. Because like, now it's a joke on a joke.
Yeah.
Because, like, they replaced Norm MacDonald and they let Gaffigan do it. Yeah. I hope they just keep doing it.
Well,
I would seriously, like, give it to Pauly Shore next.
Actually, you know who they said they might give it to next? Because they did a joke where the colonel walked in and said, "You can't replace me, I'm the colonel." And then he turns around and there are, like, headshots up on the wall of Gary Busey and Tim Meadows. And
oh, my gosh. They should do it.
Yeah.
Gary Busey. But, Gary Busey is in. I worked with him a lot.
I've worked with him too, yeah.
The World's Dumbest. He's incapable of, like, lying now.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that hunk of his brain. He can't.
It's missing.
He has
gone.
No empathy. He has no deception.
No.
And he has the inability to not say who he is.
Yeah.
I think that's why he doesn't do movies anymore. Because, like, every line of dialogue starts, "I'm Gary Busey." And, no, you're not. You're Ming the Merciless. This is a Flash Gordon movie. All right, I'm Gary Busey as Ming the Merciless. No, stop saying your own name. I think that's all he can do now. Oh. I'm Gary Busey. I'm the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy. But I said that on Michaeltopia.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Very
did.
Funny. This is great. Was it time for Michaeltopias? Oh, this is... Okay, this is another thing that we talked about on the flip side.
Yes.
About let's keep the internet free and these bizarre copyrights. So set this up, because it's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Here at the Loftus Party and theloftusparty.com and the flip side, we want to keep the internet wide open. And it's frivolous lawsuits and it's copyright law. What happened, Andrew?
All right, so the Cliff Notes version of this, there is a big YouTube channel. And there's some great YouTube creators out there. I really recommend you go on there. Just start looking around. You find some awesome stuff that wouldn't be made anywhere else.
That is true.
So one of the channels is called H3H3 Productions. They do a lot of comedy. And one of the biggest type of YouTube videos are reaction videos, where they will watch another thing, a movie, a YouTube video.
Yes.
And they will react to it.
It's very surprising.
Yes.
But it's endearing and charming. There's
exactly.
Actually, there's a show called The People's Couch.
Yep.
And that's all it is yep. People just watching television. They have a reaction to a big moment, and it is entertaining. So
yep.
Reaction videos, H3H3, they make those.
Yeah, they make those, and they find this one parkour sketch, would you say? It was like a parkour sexual assault sketch from this guy named Matt Haas.
Yeah, it was like a how to pick up girls.
Yeah.
I guess he's a parkour artist.
Yes.
And he's a pickup artist.
Yes.
Self-described.
Yes.
This seems like it is just, we are ready to make fun of this guy.
Yeah. So that's exactly what Ethan and Ela, the hosts on H3 Productions, they do. They make fun of him. They make a video. It's a 14-minute video.
Right.
And of those 14 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes intersperse clips of the original video that they're making fun of.
What happened?
Matt Haas gets upset.
Dun, dun, dun.
He threatens to sue.
Bunga, bunga, bang.
He files a copyright claim.
Bung, bung, bang.
He says, this can all go away if you pay me $4,000 and
what?
Apologize.
Bribery on the internet?
Or you can make an apology video and promote me.
Yeah, direct your viewers to my site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so he...
So it sounds like a joke. Sounds like sour grapes. Yeah. Sounds like this guy, he might have a bit of an ego.
Yeah.
He got his feelings hurt. He
yep.
wants to get even. Mm-hmm. So he files this completely frivolous lawsuit.
Completely frivolous.
But?
So then the YouTube community, they look at H3H3, and they rally around them. And as of this recording, a GoFundMe was put up by another big YouTuber, Philip
well,
DeFranco.
Hold up. You went just past it.
What's that?
The guy sued him.
Yeah.
And a judge said, yeah, you can go forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
that is the truly scary thing.
Of course it
and
is.
And he took down a couple of their videos?
Just one of their videos.
Okay, took down the video,
yep.
hurt their livelihood.
Absolutely.
And like, the great thing about their video, and I'm going to give these kids a plug.
Yep.
H3H3, I don't know what the name of the video is, but it's like them reacting to the frivolous lawsuit.
Yeah.
They go line by line over what the accusations are, mm-hmm. and then they show clips from... It's like this wonderful, it's like a dragon eating its own tail, you know, and they just go step by step, like,
yeah.
here's what we did. And he's like,
yep.
well, you had a thumbnail on there that was directing people to you. No, actually, we didn't.
Yeah.
We had this thumbnail that said this, you moron.
Yeah.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the scary thing. His lawsuit is going through. These kids are up to their eyeballs. They're going to need a lot of money to pay for their defense.
Yep.
The video has been taken down.
Yep.
This guy is affecting their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Frivolous lawsuits. And this is what the, was it SOPA?
SOPA and Pippa. That's what people
SOPA
were talking about.
SOPA and Pippa.
Yeah.
They were the twins from the reality show Outback Without a Steakhouse. The Real Housewives of Sydney. I'm SOPA. I'm Pippa. No, I'm hungry.
You jest, and yet we'll probably get that show next season on Bravo.
Yeah, we will. SOPA and Pippa go on an adventure. It's like Pippi Longstocking's twins, cousins or something. But yeah, the when Congress wants to step in and protect copyright law, this is the kind of thing that happens.
Yeah.
Now, and listen, I'm all for it. It's like I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
Yep.
For what she said, you can't play my stuff without paying me.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
However, frivolous lawsuits like this... This is why it gets super dicey.
Yeah. Now, there was a happy ending, though.
Really?
Yes. So
hope they got that on tape. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
It's all on tape. So the YouTube community rallied around them. Philip DeFranco, who's another big YouTuber, he came in and said, I'm starting a GoFundMe. I'm putting in $5,000 of my own money, and I highly recommend that you donate, too.
Yay.
And as of right now, that fund has $150,000 in it.
Yay, good for them.
And they even went one step further.
They posted a reaction video of them watching the reaction video of them getting the money through the video.
You're actually not wrong.
Really?
But what they said in that video was they weren't going to take that money. They were going to put it in an escrow account,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to...
make some money off that money.
Well,
and
actually,
they're going to post a video of people watching them making the money off the money off the video.
They're going to create what they call FUPA, which is the Fair Use Protection Account, where if
okay.
someone is being sued inappropriately on YouTube...
I like these H3H3 kids,
yep.
The more you speak.
Yeah, so there's been a guy, his name is Mr. Ryan Morrison. He also goes by the Video Game Attorney, and he has been spearheading fair use for ages. They gave him the money in the escrow account and said, we're your first clients for this, but we want you to represent as many people as you think we should.
That's beautiful. See, that's what I love about the internet.
Absolutely.
Like cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did PewDiePie step in to help him?
He put in $10,000 of his
did
own
he
money.
Really?
He did.
Oh, I like the PewDiePie.
We all like PewDiePie.
Right? What's not to like?
Yeah,
incredibly
hilarious.
Successful. It's like the American dream.
Yes, indeed.
Hilarious might be pushing it. He's okay. It's entertaining. I can see why a kid would like it.
Yeah.
You know, in reaction videos, it's like, yeah, I can see it. It's like popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, but I got to tell you what. Did you see the reaction video of that girl who was the hero in Star Wars, The Force Awakens?
Yes, Daisy Ridley's reaction
oh.
video. Actually, I liked John Boyega's video better.
I love that, too.
That one was like...
But, like, I can see the appeal of the reaction videos.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is
yes.
we're going to start posting reaction videos of people reacting to our posting of reaction videos on the reaction video section of theloftusparty.com. In Michael Topia... It's
perfect
already,
segue.
Right, it is. In Michaeltopia, you can only have one reaction video per one event. You cannot have the string of reaction videos. You know, you can't have, here's people reacting to the reacting video.
Which has actually happened.
I know it has.
Like, there's a, are you familiar with Pentatonix?
Yes.
So, two of the members of Pentatonix, they have a very active YouTube channel. So, they did a reaction video to the Fine Brothers video doing a reaction to Pentatonix.
Ooh, the Fine Brothers. Well, I want to touch on this before we head full tilt boogie into Michaeltopia.
Okay.
Be careful with the internet.
Yeah.
The internet giveth, the internet taketh away.
Yes, indeed.
As much as the internet gets weird and can help out H3H3, the internet can turn its back on you.
It's true.
With the, what is it, the Epic Brothers?
The Fine Brothers.
The Fine Brothers.
Yeah.
The Fine Brothers. They claim to have pioneered the reaction video. They've made a lot of money off of reaction
videos.
And then they tried to copyright something.
They wanted to trademark the word react. And basically what they wanted to do was they wanted to be able to go after anyone who was, quote unquote, stealing their format.
Yeah.
And the internet just turned on them.
Went from a little cute puppy.
Yep.
To a giant Harry Potter-esque werewolf.
Yep.
And just, they were losing subscribers at a astronomical rate. Yeah. People were just unsubscribing left and right.
Yeah.
It had to have been terrifying for them.
They have mostly recovered.
I saw their apology video.
Yeah,
like, hey, you guys, it was a like mess. They're holding back tears. Be cool, you guys. We didn't mean it. Here's what we were trying to do.
Yep.
It was awesome. All right, so let's bust into some Michaeltopias.
Okay.
Now, this is a segment from the TV show where, like, the world is crazy and a lot of the rules don't make sense and it could be done a better way and it doesn't, nobody likes it. But in Michaeltopia, we do things this way and it all makes sense. So that's the premise of this little bit. So, Andrew, Michaeltopia.
Okay. In Michaeltopia, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have that debate. It's just got to happen.
It's on all the news networks, and cursing and nudity are allowed.
Oh.
Right? There can be
okay. There
can be Eastern, like, it should be like a Rocky movie where, like, round one, round two, and, like, girls in bikinis come around.
And like, they both walk in wearing the robes. There's a mic drop at the end.
Yes!
James Brown comes back from the grave and he performs Living
but you
in
know
America.
What? Oddly enough, I would dress Donald Trump as Apollo Creed and I would have Bernie as Rocky. Right? That makes sense
to me. That makes perfect sense. No, I'm way on board. Bernie is still the underdog in all of this.
Okay, in Michaeltopia, once you have figured out who you're voting for, you're allowed to stop telling me about it on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
I am getting it's getting really old, really quick with these people. Like, I'll tell you who I'm voting for. I'm voting for Blong 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 because I have principles and I have character. And you're like, okay, I get it. And then, like, 8 minutes later, they have another tweet. Here's who I'm voting for. I'm still voting for Dinga Danga Doo. I'm like, hey, we got it. We got it. And it's like a constant. It's like there's a. It's on an endless loop. It's like, I get it. I know who you're voting for and why. You're a better person. You've got the moral high ground. You are smart while the rest of us are stupid. So move on. Go do smart person stuff. Stop with the tweets.
You know, and I try to stay above all of this, but I've had to actively stay off of Facebook for the past couple of weeks just because it's gotten so bad on there. It's like being a social justice warrior on these social media sites doesn't change anything. The only thing that changes things is voting. So if you want to make a change, go out and vote. Don't post anything on Bernie Sanders' dank meme stash.
Yes. That's
that's a thing.
Dank meme stash?
Yeah.
That sounds incredibly, like a weird subset of some porn. Like the dank meme stash. Just, like, that doesn't sound healthy or good.
Look it up. There's some good stuff on there.
All right. I have one.
Yes.
In Michaeltopia, when your little comic book business is hurting, you can't drastically change the nature of the hero just to make some headlines. Okay, I'm so upset about this one, I'm not even going to say who it is because I don't want to mention the name because I don't want to get... This is the press they're looking for.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll take this beloved, successful character and we will suddenly completely change it and make it something, blah, blah, blah. It's like the guy, like, listen, DC Comics, the first time they killed Superman, everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
You can't kill Superman. And everybody freaked out, and they got a bunch of headlines and a bunch of press. And I think the first time in like 128 years, they sold more than 5 comic books that month.
Yeah.
So now another comic book company that wants to make some headlines, a comic book company that last time I checked, well, there's a little story. One division of them is doing very well. The film division, the actual comic book division, I don't know. So they're playing fast and loose with one much beloved character, and I say no. You can't do that to Batman. I'm throwing people off the trail.
Yes, you are. And I would explain to you what I think is going to happen next in comic book lore, but that doesn't happen in Michaeltopia.
No. In Michaeltopia, you have to read them.
So anything else from the news? Anything else you want to cover? Any big stories that we didn't touch on? Anything you want to leave our listeners with on this fine Memorial Day?
Listen, it's going to sound hokey.
Okay.
But when you are flipping those burgers, I saw like a Marine saying this, and he was all very heartfelt. I'm like, I get it. But like, seriously, it's a great holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And as hokey as it sounds, freedom is not free. There are bad people that have been on this planet before, the Nazis, and they tried to take everything over. And we came together and we stopped them. Two world wars. So this wonderful life that we enjoy in the best country, I honestly think the best country on the face of this big blue ball, freedom isn't free, and people protect it. And there's wonderful, brave men and women right now. Make it. So when you're flipping that burger, at least take a moment to be like, hey, thanks you guys. That's awesome. And for risking it all. Not a big joke there. It is kind of heartfelt and kind of sappy, but it's for real.
And building upon that, if you're one of those people that takes your spatula to the raw meat and flattens it, you're doing it wrong, and the terrorists win.
Oh, did we do that last week? I'm tired of everything that we do helps the terrorist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was your Michaeltopia last week.
That is my Michaeltopia. And here's another little Memorial Day tip for you before we get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Don't flatten the burger with the spatula. I know it makes you feel like a man, but you're ruining it. You need those jerseys. Here's what you want to do. Take the burger and just put it on the grill. Here's another thing. Make sure your grill's preheated, okay? Make sure that sucker's nice and hot. Mm. Let that burger sit there for about 4 minutes. I know it's going to seem like a crazy long time. Then flip it. You'll be happier. That's right. The Loftus Party, hooking you up with grilling tips and pot roast recipes. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Be happy. Smile. We're right. We can laugh about it. I love you. I'll see you next time.
Please rate us high on iTunes. This is Michael's grandmother, and getting a good rating on iTunes is very important to him. I'm going to go rap in an Adam Sandler movie now.